Thank you, Elizabeth and Emily and Eric, for preparing the way that we might come and worship this morning. And I greet each of you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, and count it a privilege and a blessing that we can be here this day to reflect upon His goodness in our life. I am mindful in John 14 where the Lord tells us something directly from Christ. And we must come to that garden alone like the ladies sung, this personal relationship that we have with our Jesus Christ. For He's prepared the way for us. And He tells us there that our hearts should not be troubled and they should not be afraid. For He has given us what we need in the direction of life. And I give to you now out of 2nd book of Nephi, 13th chapter, in the last of the chapter. Wherefore ye must press forward with the steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. I pray that you will continue to hold up our brother Joe in these final moments as he breaks open the word of life, and that we might be prepared to receive through that good Spirit that's blessed us time and time again. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we have gathered here this morning, a waiting congregation, to hear the words that Brother Joe would share with us. And might they come from his heart and the desires in his heart that you have placed there, O Lord. And may we be in tune to receive those things which are for us from the courts of glory. Father, we desire to come before thee in a humble way. And we're thankful already for the Spirit that is present here and have been manifested in the song and the music. And so, Lord, we gather at this time, seeking thy face and asking that thou would smile upon us and that thy countenance would be here and thy presence felt. And we pray, Father, again for our brother Joe. We know that he has a desire and the desire to serve and to share, and we pray that he'll have that liberty of speech, that his tongue might be loosed and his mind might be clear. And those things where he desires to share, Father, that they might be made manifest. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
There are many scriptures that speak of stewardship. The one that I like the best is found in the Book of Mormon. I feel like it speaks to the true spirit of giving. From the Book of Mosiah, the 9th chapter, beginning with verse 60. And again, Alma commanded that the people of the church should impart of their substance, every one according to that which he had. If he had more abundantly, then he should impart more abundantly. And he that had but little should be required. And to him that had not should be given. And thus they should impart of their substance, of their own free will and good desires toward God. And to those priests who stood in need, yea, and to every needy naked soul. And this he said unto them, having been commanded of God. And they did walk uprightly before God, imparting to one another, both temporally and spiritually, according to their needs and their wants. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we ask that you accept this offering in the spirit of which it is given, of love and fellowship and humility, and we pray that it might be used to the betterment of thy kingdom. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please follow along. I'll be reading out of the book of 1 Nephi, the 7th chapter. Beginning at verse 44, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that all those who will not hear that prophet shall be cut off from among the people. Now turn over to the book of Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter. Verse 18. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all, that I shall command him. And returning to 1 Nephi chapter 7, to conclude with verse 46. And now I, Nephi, declare unto you that this prophet of whom Moses spake was the Holy One of Israel. It is on this subject of him shall ye hear in all things that I'd like to speak to you about this morning. Ponder upon those words.
Thank you.
Thank you, Emily. Eric, she's gotten better than you. And you know, that's a blessing. We can't ask for more than that desire that our children be better than us. That's my hope, too. In the book of Acts, there's an account where Philip listens to the direction of the Spirit. And he's counseled to go and to join himself with a fellow that's riding in a chariot and is reading the words of Isaiah the prophet. And it's in the 8th chapter. It says, "And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, and was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he read Isaiah the prophet. And then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except a man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet of this, of himself or some other man? And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. You know, it says a lot that Philip was willing to listen to the voice of the Spirit. And because he was obedient to that Spirit, this man found the Lord Jesus Christ. And I marvel at the introduction that was made when Philip stood outside of that chariot and he said to the man, Do you know what you're reading? How many of you have read the book of Isaiah and pondered to yourself, What am I reading? Do I understand? And the door was opened and Philip was able to preach about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he opened the door. Maybe I should say, given what we studied in class today, that he opened the gate to him, that he might go and enter into the waters of baptism and enter into that gate that leads to eternal life. In the book of 1 Nephi, in the 5th chapter, beginning at verse 145, And ye have seen an angel, and he spake unto you. Yea, ye have heard his voice from time to time. These are the words of Nephi, the younger brother, as he spoke to his older brethren. And he was reminding them and admonishing them to do that which is right, because they had kind of a tendency to stray from that straight and narrow path. And he was reminding them of the experiences that they'd had. They'd seen angels, and they'd heard the voice of the Lord speaking unto them. And he has spoken unto you in a still, small voice, but ye were past feeling, that you could not feel his words. I have this in my scriptures underlined in red because I find this a remarkable statement, that his brethren were past feeling. They could not feel his words. I wonder if that's a hint to you and I as to how it is that we discern the Spirit and how that Spirit moves in our lives. Is that something that we feel? Now think about all the emotions that we have as human beings. We were created that way. We're complicated. In us are these emotions of anger and of love, of happiness and sadness. We have all these emotions inside of us, and we have to learn as we grow to distinguish between these, don't we? To know the difference of one and the other. And I believe, brothers and sisters, it's our responsibility as well to know and distinguish the voice of the Lord as it works in our life and as it speaks to us, to discern that that is indeed the voice of the Spirit and of my Master. There's a requirement on our part. And Nephi's brothers had experienced the voice of the Spirit, but in many ways they pushed it aside, and they could not feel his words any longer. Wherefore he has spoken unto you like unto the voice of thunder, which did cause the earth to shake, as if it were to divide asunder. And ye also know that by the power of his almighty word he can cause the earth that it shall pass away. Yea, and ye know that by his word he can cause the rough places to be made smooth, and the smooth places shall be broken up. This Spirit is a powerful thing. You know, we have God the Father, and he says, by my only begotten Son created I these things, and speaking of our world and of us. And so we know that we are created by the words of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we also know that his Spirit moved across the face of the deep. And by the power of that Spirit, the world came into being because Christ spoke the words and his Father gave him authority to do so. The Spirit is a powerful thing. Our Lord is indeed our Creator. And when we hear his word in our life, and we discern that indeed this is the voice of my Master, then we are responsible to act and to obey. Just like Philip, when he heard the voice of the Spirit, he went and he joined himself to this man, because the Lord knew that that man was seeking. And because he was obedient, that man found what he was looking for. At least he was placed on the right path. In the book of Helaman, in the second chapter, we begin at verse 93. And it came to pass that there came a voice, as if it were above the cloud of darkness, saying, repent ye, and seek no more to destroy my servants, whom I have sent unto you to declare good tidings. And it came to pass, when they heard his voice, and behold, that it was not a voice of thunder, neither was it a voice of great tumultuous noise, but behold, it was a still voice of perfect mildness, as if it had been a whisper, and it did pierce even to the very soul. There's many references in the scriptures to the voice of the Lord, this still small voice, how it speaks to his people. I think about the voice that came to the Nephites just before Jesus appeared unto them after his crucifixion and his resurrection. He was coming to them to share the fullness of his gospel with them. How he heard that voice. I think about the voice that was spoken to Joseph Smith as he laid there in that grove. He was overcome with darkness, and the darkness was cast away because of the presence of the Spirit that came, and how the Father stood there and introduced him to his Son. This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. Brothers and sisters, we have an obligation to learn, to listen, and to obey the words of our Savior that come to us by the power of his Spirit. Joshua experienced this in a similar way in the book of Kings, in the 19th chapter. Beginning at verse 11, and he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle, and he went out, and he stood at the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him, and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? Elijah recognized the voice not in these great loud noises of the wind or of the earthquake or of the fire, but he recognized his voice not in judgment, but in communication with his prophet. With the prophet who felt very much alone because all of the land were taking the prophets and were killing them. And Elijah had to flee and hide in the crevice of this cave to escape. And his heart was burdened over the sin of the people. And the Lord knew it. And he came in a still, small voice that Elijah recognized. And he gave him counsel and encouragement. I don't know about you. I would rather listen to the still small voice than the voice of thundering. You know, Nephi's brothers, they had pushed out that still small voice, and the only way that they would hear was if the Lord spoke to them in a thunderous voice in retribution for their sin. Perhaps in an effort to get their attention. But more blessed are those that would listen to the voice, that still, small voice, that pierces to the very soul. Nothing else can do it like the Lord speaking in His voice. You know, I would say, and I have seen in the Scriptures and I have seen in your lives, the Lord moving in different ways amongst us. Now, I don't mean that He's going down one path or another path. His path is straight. But I see Him speaking to His people in ways that they will understand individually, that means something to each and every one. We're all different. We respond, I think, differently. We all have different gifts and talents, and the Lord knows how to minister to each and every one of us individually. And you know it when He speaks to you, don't you? You know and can recognize when He speaks and pierces you to your very soul. Do you have that experience in your life? Have you met Him enough that you can discern and know when it is that the Lord is speaking to you? I'm going to share some testimonies with you. Perhaps you've heard these from me before. Perhaps not. Times when the Lord has spoken to me in my life. There is times when He's spoken to me directly, and I know it, and it hasn't happened often, but He's called me by name. And one of those times was before I met Brenda, and I was alone, graduated from college, and I was on a path on my career, had all those boxes checked off that I needed to do. But I was lonely. And I was actually at my parents' house, and it was Christmas time, so I shouldn't have been lonely. I had my family around me. But I was alone. I wanted a companion. And the Lord, as I sat there, and I was in the family room away from everybody else, and I sat there, and I guess I was feeling sad for myself. I don't know. But I was praying to the Lord about this, and He said, "Joe, call me by name." He said, "This time next year, you won't be alone." And I thought to myself, well, I'm just making things up. Was that you, Lord? You know, that was December. In March, I met Brenda. Brad had a little bit to do with that. By August, my birthday, August 1st, we were engaged. So by that next Christmas, I sat in that very same place, very same room, and Brenda was there as my fiance in my mom and dad's house. "Joe, by this time next year, you won't be alone." What a blessing that was in my life. And I suppose that was an experience that taught me the Lord's voice, to learn to listen when He spoke and to recognize that voice. There was another time when I sat here in this very room, and this is not easy. I sat here in this very room, and I was told to stand up because you needed to share something with the people. Not really even thinking about it, I stood up and I said, "Verily thus saith the Spirit." And I shared with the people the importance of prayer and fasting. And the message was that these were important for the people to know, and we would need the strength of these in the day to come. Wasn't an eloquent message. Wasn't a deeply profound message. It was very simple. What was unique about that message to me, and I doubt that anyone there even recognized, but as I stood there, there was a power that came over me and my entire frame trembled. Never experienced that before. It's not that I was jumping around or anything like that, but I could tell. And my frame shook. I pondered upon that. I was a little bit concerned about that. And I wondered, Lord, did I represent you today as you called me to? You read in history about these things that happen. People become overwhelmed with emotion or some shaker spirit. I certainly didn't want to be a deceiver. And my mind started to become heavy. And I prayed about that day. And in the afternoon, after church was over, I went to my study and I got out our daily reading for the scriptures, and we were reading in the Book of Mormon at that time, and turned to our daily reading, and I began to read about King Benjamin. And it said, King Benjamin stood before the people, and his frame shook exceedingly. This was an answer to my prayer. Who else could have orchestrated that I would have that experience, that I'd be concerned about that experience and take it to the Lord, and that our daily reading, which was set up at the beginning of the year, would on that particular day talk about that particular subject in answer to my prayer? What a blessing that was to me in my life. The Lord calls upon us on occasion to stand and speak in such a way. Not necessarily just to the priesthood. Think about, it was Joseph Luff's conversion experience when his little brother-in-law that was 10 years old stood and spoke, "Thus saith the Spirit," told him he needed to join this church, and testified that the Spirit that he'd experienced was indeed the Spirit of the Lord. And unbeknownst to that 10-year-old boy, that's exactly what Joseph had asked the Lord to do for him. The Lord can speak through children. The Lord can speak through women. The Lord can speak through men and can speak through his priesthood. It is, however, the priesthood's responsibility to proclaim the truth that none would be deceived. That's a distinction. The Lord can speak through his prophets as it is recorded in his scriptures. Those prophets from days long ago. And he speaks today as he spoke then. The Lord has spoken to me through nature. You know that hymn, "In the rustling grass I hear him pass, he speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world." Has that been your experience, saints? Does he speak to you through that which he created, through nature? He has to me. I was on an airplane about a week, a little over a week ago, and I get on these planes, and they don't make them for guys my size, really. I usually will sit in the aisle way so that I can lean into the aisle and give my friend that's sitting next to me, usually not anybody I've ever met before, give them room for their elbows so they're not in my ribs, honestly. And In this particular occasion, I got on the plane and I looked at the aisle seat, and I moved over and I sat next to the window. I'm like, okay, I don't know why I did that. And I was on a flight from Houston, stopping in Dallas, and I didn't have to change planes in Dallas. I got to sit there on that same plane and then from Dallas back to Kansas City. And as I was on that leg from Dallas to Kansas City, I was just kind of looking out the window back and forth. I was reading something, and then I'd look out the window again, and I saw something out the window that I had never seen before, probably will never see again. As we entered into the Kansas City area and we were descending down, and it was very cloudy, which is the way it's been for the last couple of weeks, it seems like. As we descended down and we were real close to the cloud deck, that layer of clouds, I looked out and it was late in the day. I'm guessing it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and so the sun was shining. And it was casting a shadow of the airplane, and you could see the shadow, and it was enveloped. The shadow of that airplane was enveloped with a, I can't call it a rainbow because it wasn't a bow, it was a complete circle of the most beautiful and brilliant colors of the rainbow that I've ever seen. And I looked and I saw it and I looked away and I had to turn back. I said, what is that? And then I kept looking at it, and it didn't last for but a few seconds, and the plane started to go through the clouds and it was gone. And I pondered on that. I talked to a friend of mine that's a pilot, and they call it there's different names for it, but it's the pilot's halo. Sometimes a pilot will see that. I've asked him if he had, and he said, very rarely. It's only a few times that I've seen it. And I think it's probably even more rare that a passenger on a plane would see something. It was beautiful. And I don't know the scale of it, how big it was. There was no reference for me to be able to tell. Was it big as a rainbow that you'd see standing here on the ground or not? But it was so unique. The shadow of the airplane was very clearly defined, and it was completely enveloped with that circle of the rainbow. And I had been, I was supposed to preach at South Chrysler last week, and I was trying to prepare for that. And I was reminded of the promises of the Lord because of the promise that he gave to man about the rainbow, that he would never flood the earth again. And you know, he did that because he'd flooded the earth because men were so wicked to the point that they needed to be destroyed. But he promised that he would never do that again. And you know, we, as we stand here on the earth and we look at the rainbow, we can only see the bow part of the rainbow. But I'll testify to you that as we are lifted up higher, we can see our image enveloped with the promise of the Lord. Now that may not have meant much to you, but that meant a lot to me. I couldn't hardly fathom what it was that I was looking at. And it didn't last long. I couldn't even turn to the gentleman next to me to say, hey, do you see that? And it was gone. In the book of Alma, chapter 5, it says, for I perceive that ye are in the paths of righteousness. I perceive that ye are in the path which leads to the kingdom of God. Yea, I perceive that ye are making his path straight. I perceive that it has been made known unto you by the testimony of his word that he cannot walk in crooked paths, neither doth he vary from that which he has said. Neither hath he a shadow of turning from the right to the left, nor from that which is right to that which is wrong. Therefore his course is one eternal round. And that's my testimony to you today. His course and His promises for mankind are one eternal round. The gospel of Jesus Christ and this Christ that we worship today is the same that was from the beginning, that Adam was instructed to follow. What a blessing it is to be able to worship a God that is a God of truth, that that continues to reveal and testify of His promises to us. So what about the testimony of nature when it comes to living creatures? I have a testimony about that too. So this would have been 2002. We were at reunion up in Excelsior Springs, and it was July, over the 4th of July is when we have reunion, and Brenda was very pregnant with Isaac. And she went into town, came back to Independence to go to a doctor's appointment. She had weekly appointments. We were getting close to the time. And she got into a car accident. A fella rear-ended her, totaled the car, and sent her into labor. And so she got a hold of a friend of hers that then in turn got a hold of me, and I was up in Excelsior Springs. I think Eric gave me a ride down, and I got to the hospital and called the elders along the way, and there were a couple of elders here in town that came over and administered to her, and I was a little flustered, if you can imagine, worried about my wife, worried about our unborn child. Didn't know at that time if it was a boy or a girl, I don't think. Did we know? Yeah, we knew it was. The first two we kept it secret, and then with Isaac, we found out it was a boy, so we knew it was a boy. But concerned about those things, you know. And they were trying to get labor to stop so that she could finish out her term, which was just another month or so. And so this happened, must have been in the evening, and it was past time for when they served dinner, and Brenda hadn't had any dinner. So after they'd administered to her and everything started to settle down, I went out to get her something to eat. And I walked out the door of the hospital, and I looked down on my shirt sleeve, and there was a ladybug that was crawling on my shirt sleeve. And I know this might sound kind of corny, because it did to me at the time, but there was a great comfort that came with the appearance of that little ladybug, and I knew everything was going to be okay. You see, our girls at the time would have been 2 and 4 years old, and our house had more ladybugs than we knew what to do with. And the girls, being that age, they followed them. They would see them, and they would follow them around, crawling on the floor, you know, looking at these ladybugs, and they'd hold them in their hands. And so it was a special thing for us, kind of our family mascot, if you will. And so the fact that there was a ladybug on my sleeve meant more than what you might realize. So things went fine. Brenda was released from the hospital, came back to reunion. We finished out that week at reunion. You want to talk about the power of prayer, and you got the saints together at reunion praying for you. You can trust everything will go fine. And they did. And a month later, Isaac was born. So we were back at the same hospital and in the room, and the nurses, they brought Isaac in, and they had these little bassinets, you know, that are on wheels, and had him all bundled up and rolled him into the room and had his little card on there, you know, Isaac Williams. Sorry, son, I don't remember how much you weighed or how long you were, any of that stuff, but had all those, you know, the statistics on there. And then the nurse had taken it, and she put a ladybug sticker on that card. Wasn't that something? You know, as I look back over the course of my life since then, not every, but I would say just about every major decision that we've made as a family has had a ladybug involved in it in some form or fashion. I was standing out here with Dan Schoeneman in the portico, and my scriptures were sitting on the stone planter out here, and we were discussing who would be our next pastor, and Dan said, "Joe, I really think you should be the next pastor." Now, this was 10 years ago, thereabouts. And I said, "Well, what makes you say that, Dan?" He goes, "There's a ladybug crawling on your scriptures." He knew my testimony. I'm like, "Well, that's kind of hard to argue with, isn't it?" Ladybug showed up on my shirt sleeve again when we were walking through a bean field about 2 miles from here when we were thinking about buying property out this way. And I feel like I have an inheritance in Zion because of that testimony. Lord's been good to us that way. I know my daughter Ellie's been experiencing that in college, you know, the stress of college. And she goes, "You know what? She'll text us, I think this test is going to go fine." "Well, good. Did you study?" She's like, "Well, I studied, but there was a ladybug on the way to class." Isn't it something how the Lord can work and speak to us in such a simple way, using a little insect that can mean so much to us? He's very personal. He knows you personally. And he testifies to you. If we would but look, I think we would see testimonies every day of how it is the Lord blesses us in our life. You know, I think about how the Lord can testify to us even in silence. I think about how he was when he was being accused of those Jews as to being a heretic. And they wanted to send him to the cross. And the words of Isaiah came to me, and like a sheep before his shearers is dumb, and he spoke not a word to them. His silence really in condemnation for what it was that they were doing. And if the Lord's not speaking to you, brothers and sisters, maybe you should evaluate your life. What is it that you're doing that would cause Him to be silent? Because I know that He is a God of truth. And I know that He works with His people. And I know He strengthens us through these testimonies. I've mentioned to you this morning how it is that He can speak to you directly and call you by name. He can speak through you so that others can be blessed and hear His word. He speaks to you through nature. He even speaks to you through some of His critters. And He can speak to you in silence. Probably not the message that you want to hear. The book of John, the 10th chapter. Bob knew I was going to read this. He read out of the book of John this morning. Chapter 10, verse 27 and 28. And I'll close with this. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." What a great promise, brothers and sisters. Listen to the voice of your shepherd. You are His sheep, and none shall pluck you out of His hand. That is His promise. May He bless you as you work out your probation before Him in these last days.
Our Father who art in heaven, truly we are thankful, Father, for this time together and for the bread of life that has been broken before us. We are thankful, Father, for your voice, for the many ways that we hear you, the many ways that we see you in our lives. And we are thankful, Father, for the reminder and the remembrance that we are to be a people who respond to your voice, who listen for that still small voice, and for the little ways in which you guide and direct us. May we, Father, be even more mindful of that calling and that voice. And may we respond as we seek to move forward in this great task and path that you have provided for us in this daily life. Be with us now as we go from this place, and will you bless these people, Father, with an outpouring of thy Holy Ghost, even until we are together again. And we do pray it in the sacred and holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen.